God said to Abram, pack up what you can, grab Lot and your close family, then I want you to leave. I want you to leave all of your extended family. I want you to leave all of your support system. I want you to leave the land that you know, and I want you to go that direction. I'm not going to tell you where I'm going to take you. I just want you to go in that direction, and I'm going to make you into a great nation. And then Scripture records for us, so Abram went as the Lord told him. Abram answered God's call. Samuel was a young boy. He was under Eli. One night he had a restless night, couldn't sleep, kept thinking that Eli was calling him. Finally, Eli catches on. He says, no, you go on back to bed. It'll be different this time. And so in 1 Samuel, it records this for us. And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant hears. Samuel answered God's call. Peter and Andrew, just another day on the job, they went to work out to the Sea of Galilee. They're fishermen. They're casting their nets out. They're hoping they're going to put food on the table that night. All of a sudden, a stranger comes walking by, and that stranger happens to be Jesus. And he says this, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And then the next sentence is pretty amazing to me. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him, left all of their earthly possessions, left their income behind, left their family behind, and followed Jesus. Peter and Andrew answered God's call. Jesus looks up and he sees the crowd that's there. He knows that they're tired. He knows that they're hungry. So he says to his disciples, looks like we better get supper for these folks. What do you boys suggest? They look and say, are you kidding me? It'd take an entire year's salary to even feed this lot. And besides that, where are we going to get takeout from? So Jesus asked a young boy for his fish and for his bread. And 5,000 plus people ate that day. Because that little boy, and we don't even know his name, he answered God's call. You see, God calls his people into action. God calls his people to serve one another and to serve him. And he calls us in large and in small ways. Sometimes we get it into our head, well, if God's calling me into action, that means I need to leave my homeland behind like Abram. Or that maybe that means that I need to become a prophet like Samuel. Or maybe that means I got to leave my profession behind like Peter and Andrew. And yet, no, we've got a young boy who simply offers up his fish and his bread, serving God and answering the call. God calls us into action to serve one another and to serve him in large and small ways. And so we, as passionate followers of our risen Savior, we want to answer the call. We want to answer the call. Understanding that answering the call is responding to his grace. This is about responding. God always initiates, and we always respond back. So responding to his love and his grace in our lives, then we respond back going into action. Take Abram. There was nothing special about Abram. There was nothing that qualified Abram. But God chose him and said, I'm going to make you into a great nation. I'm going to take you to a promised land. And showering grace on Abram, then Abram responds by saying, I'll go wherever you lead. Another example from the Old Testament is Moses. Moses did his best to demonstrate to God that he was the most unqualified guy on the planet to go back to Egypt. He did his best to convince him. Finally, God said to him, Mo, I'm paraphrasing, Mo, it's not about you, it's about me. It's not about what you can do, it's what I'm going to do through you. And when Moses finally understood God's grace, that this was all about what God was going to do, he responded by going back to Egypt. You and I, when God calls us to action, when he calls us to serve one another and to serve him, it's a response to his grace. It's a response to knowing that you have a God who loves you enough to send his son into the world. A God who loves you enough to live for you and then to take your place on the cross, that through the blood of Jesus, that all the things that we feel guilty about, all the things that we've done wrong, all the sin in our life is washed away, and we can start with a clean slate again and again and again, and being overwhelmed by that kind of grace, then we want to respond back to God. The disciple John said it best in one of his letters, "We love because he first loved us." God initiates. God showers you with his love. And then something inside of us responds back to love with him. So when we answer the call, we do so in response to his grace, which means that answering God's call is resisting recognition. It's not about us, and it's not about what we're doing. And we're not looking for recognition. We're not looking for pats on the back. In fact, oftentimes, when God calls us into action, when God calls us to serve, it's usually in ways which are unknown by most people. It's usually in very quiet ways, in ways that are hidden, that are behind the scenes. For instance, after the 5,000 were fed, who did the dishes? No mention of who did the dishes. How about our worship service? Any idea how many people it takes so that this service comes off smoothly? Oh, sure, I'm up front. Joel and the worship team are up front. You can congratulate them and pat them on the back. A great job that they've done, and they do a great job. But what about all the rest? What about the friendly face that greeted you as you came through the doors? What about the elders who have been working long before you got here this morning? What about the ushers that silently do their work and serve God in this quiet fashion? How about the altar guild? They are stealth-like, right? You can't spot an altar guild worker. They're behind here getting things ready. They're in the room back there getting things ready. But consider this. If they didn't show up this morning, we wouldn't receive the sacrament. We wouldn't have God's grace to distribute to all of you. See, oftentimes in unseen ways and in humble ways, right? So we're answering God's call but not seeking recognition for that, which means that answering God's call results in passion because we realize we're not just doing a job. We're not just completing a task. Yes, work needs to be done. Jobs need to be completed. Tasks need to be done. But there's something more meaningful about it. There's something deeper to it. It's not just the job or the task that's being completed. But the fact is that we are being called to be part of something which is bigger than us. That in big and in small ways, we're part of advancing God's kingdom. That in big and small ways, God is using us to advance his kingdom so that more people experience his grace at an even deeper level. That develops a passion in us. So I'm not just a worker bee. I'm not just doing a job here. But God is using me, answering God's call. It brings on a passion in us, which means that passionate followers answer his call. If we want to be passionate followers of our risen Savior, then we answer his call to serve one another and to serve him. We do that first and foremost by having an open heart. By having an open heart that's listening for God and wanting to seek where he's leading us to go. Samuel is a great example. Eli gives him excellent advice. He says, Samuel, you go back and lay down. And the next time you hear the voice, just say, your servant hears. I'm listening. Right? Have an open heart. Now, I don't know if God is going to stand at the foot of your bed and call your name loudly 2 times. That would freak me out, right? I'm just saying, he might. But more than likely, it's going to be more subtle than that. It's going to be a nudge inside of you that says, man, my schedule is packed, but I feel like I should be involved over there. Right? I know I got a lot on my plate, but wow, I can't help myself. I want to do something over here. I mean, do you have a passion for something in your life? Is God put like the homeless on your heart and you want to do something about it? Is calling on those that can't get out much? Is it sitting down with children? If God's put a passion in your heart, that's probably where he's calling you to service, right? So don't shut down your heart. Don't say, I'm too busy. Don't say, I've got everything else going on. But open up your heart to where is God leading? Where is God nudging? Right? Because that's where God is calling you into action. And then recognize your giftedness. Because God has given each one of us different gifts, and they work together. St. Paul put it this way to the church at Rome. He says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given us, then he says, just let's use them. Let's use them in his kingdom. And he goes off to list some, but it's a partial list. He says, if you lead, well, then lead with zeal. If you got the gift of generosity, then give generously. If it's teaching, then go ahead and teach. Right? Whatever it is that God has gifted you in, then you should do that, and you should use the gifts that he's given to you. Now, you recognize God's gifts, I think, by answering three questions. Because I always have people say, well, I don't know what I'm gifted in. Well, there's three questions I think you can answer on this. The first one is, what comes naturally to you? You probably won't think it's a gift then. You see, it comes so naturally to you. You'll say, well, no, there's nothing special about that. What is it that comes so natural to you, right? Are you mechanically inclined? You can fix anything? Take it apart, put it back together, no big deal. Here you go, it's fixed, right? Do you go, cookbook, who needs a cookbook? I'll just toss some things together. And then everybody raves about how good it tastes, right? Are you a whiz at numbers? Do children really respond to you, right? What is it that just comes very, very naturally to you? That's probably giving you a hint of where your giftedness is at. Now, couple that with the second one. That is, what do others see in you? What do others compliment you about? What do others ask your advice on or ask your help with? Don't just pass it off that they're being nice. They probably are being nice, but they see something in you. And if that's coupled with what you think is something that comes naturally to you, that's probably close to what your giftedness is. And then finally, the third thing is, what brings you satisfaction? What is it that you don't care if anyone else sees it, you don't really care if anyone else notices it, right? But you just get a good deal of satisfaction out of that, right? So, an example, all right, my wife is gifted in many ways. One of her ways that she's gifted is she is super organized. I mean, she can really organize things. So sometimes I know that she gets a little bit disgusted with me and the girls. She goes in the pantry and goes, oh, all right? And I know because the next day, I know that she's been up late because I'm like, wah, right? Now, the girls, they don't notice it, right? I do because I can't find anything. So I'm like, honey, where's the chicken soup? Second shelf over, third row down, three cans. She probably knows the expiration dates. I'm just saying. All right? Now, I could be wrong. I don't think you really care if anyone notices or not. Does your heart good to look in there and say, oh, good, it's back to some semblance of order, right? So put those three together. What comes naturally to you? What do others see in you? And what is it that when you finish it, you have a great deal of satisfaction? That's probably how God has gifted you, which means that's how God's going to call you into action, to use those gifts. So step out in faith. Step out in faith and say, I think God is calling me to action to serve him here. And you're going to give it a try. Maybe it doesn't work. Maybe you were wrong, okay? That doesn't stop you. And then come back and start something else, right? Now, lest you think that this is a recruitment sermon, this goes way beyond the church. This is way beyond the church. I'm talking about every aspect of your life, because God is with you in every aspect of your life, not just here at church. And God could be calling you to action in any number of ways. Maybe God is calling you to action at the Chandler Food Bank. Maybe God is calling you to action of calling on your neighbors and spending some time with them. Maybe God's calling you into action to be with the kids in your local elementary school. I mean, the possibilities are endless. But when you have an open heart and you recognize the gifts that God has given to you, and then opportunities present themselves, God is probably calling you into action. Because God calls his people to serve one another and to serve him. And each time that we answer that call? He draws us just a little bit closer to Him because we truly are passionate followers of our risen Savior. Amen. Would you stand and pray with me? Heavenly Father, first and foremost, we thank you for your grace, for the undeserved love that you have showered down upon us, and we wish to respond to you. So give us open hearts so that we go where you lead us. Help us to recognize our gifts and then put them to use in the advancement of your kingdom, of serving one another and serving you. In Jesus' name, amen.